and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. Oh, it's been a busy week or so for us, hasn't it, Steve? We've been at it, haven't we? There's been lots going on.
I think you've been busier than me.
I've been flying about the place like a madman, but I'm not complaining because I've been doing some very interesting things.
Yeah, I liked your office this week.
Yeah, the office has been good in that I haven't really been in it. I've been everywhere else. Yeah, obviously we did our podcast with Dan from Demand Engineering last week, which was great fun.
I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that. So I don't like listening back to ours.
I don't really ever bother listening back to ours. But
Well, you edit it, don't you? So you listen to it. Mm-hmm. And then I tend to listen to it when it comes out.
When it comes out, yeah.
Well, I'd be the first listener.
Yeah, I suppose it would have been similar to, although I heard the one you did with Pat when I edited it, I listened back to that again because I didn't really take it in the first time. So I suppose it's probably quite similar for you.
Yeah, because you're not part of the conversation, are you, here? So you don't, when you listen back, you've never heard it before.
So yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Dan sounds like an interesting chap.
He is. He's a really, really interesting and funny guy. And I would definitely recommend, if you are in the market for an exhaust, have a chat with him because he knows what he's doing, that's for sure.
And I know where you can meet him.
Go on, tell us.
LRM Live, 17th, 18th of May. So just thought I'd get that plug in.
That was beautifully set.
Yeah. So he's there, he's trading there. So yeah, he'll have all his stuff on show.
Absolutely. Yeah. A top chap. So yeah, from there I was back, and then I've literally yesterday just come back from Defender Octa drive.
You're so lucky.
What a trip.
There's two lucky people in the world, I reckon. Those who have been and driven one like you, and those who can afford to buy one.
Yeah, you're right. I would, do you know what? I said this to someone else I was speaking to the other day. I was initially skeptical that it wouldn't be much of a jump from the sort of X Dynamic, like the top spec Defender, even like a V890 or whatever. I just thought, okay, they've
polished a turd. No, I just didn't. You know what it's like when someone just goes a little bit too far on something, and it kind of destroys what it was.
You sort of. I couldn't quite get my head around how much for the extra. And it's none of the Defenders are cheap, but this is like very not cheap. But I didn't think, there'd be enough of a gap between the current top spec model, even with a V8, petrol V8, and the Octa.
Okay.
But my God, there is a difference between the top spec V8 and the Octa. It is fantastic.
So you're saying then, money no object?
Yeah, I'd have one.
I mean, would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I was chatting to Tristan, the one of the PR guys from Land Rover, and I sort of said to him, what's the target audience for this? What's its competition? And he said, well, obviously, he's from Land Rover, so he's going to big it up. But he said, really, it doesn't actually have any. And I thought, yeah, you're right, it doesn't. I mean, I guess the closest thing you could say possibly is like G63 Mercedes G-Wagon.
Yeah, I have to say, I've never seen a G-Wagon G63 driven by anybody that isn't of a certain type or driven badly.
I don't know about that, but they certainly wouldn't put up with the absolute pasting we gave the Octa off-road. It's like, if you've ever done any hill rallying or...
I've watched hill rallying live, yeah.
Even, I suppose, to an extent, your passenger ride at Billing in a winch challenge thing where you're hitting stuff and perhaps not doing quite such extreme jumps.
Oh, but those jumps were severe. But yeah, that they get a pacing around there.
You're sitting in this incredibly quiet, refined, luxurious Land Rover, firing it through ruts and up banks and doing huge leery climbs and going through water. It wades up to a meter out of the box. They're like, your brain can't quite get your head around the fact that you're in such a luxurious, like, quiet car while the suspension flaps around. It's like a swan. Beautifully composed on top, refined, looks like, you feel like completely just isolated is the wrong word, but the amount of stuff, clever stuff that's going on underneath with all the 6D suspension and the revised dampers and the wider track, everything like that, just takes care of any terrain. You can throw it pretty much, and you're just sat there, and you're like, oh, I think I might nip the aircon up a little bit, or
yeah,
and that's just off road.
Okay, you run a V8. I have a V8, which isn't a Jag, I have to say.
Yeah.
And we know that fuel economy isn't the question that gets asked. How many to the gallon did you do?
Well, we obviously tested its full breadth of capability all day. And I think it was 12.4 by the end of it, 12.4 to the gallon.
Okay. Could have been worse. Could have been single digits.
It could have.
Yeah, that's too bad, actually. So on a run, I bet that does 25 to the gallon.
It will. I expect it will, yeah.
I mean, then that's in like normal.
When you're not exploring its performance constantly.
So how many vehicles were on the Scotland trip then? How many did I have on?
I don't know exactly. I would say there must have been 8 Octas probably.
Really?
Yeah.
So what happens to the 8 that have had this sort of hammering then?
I asked this, and apparently some get sent off to experience centres to be experienced.
Rehabbed. Yeah.
And some do go into the dealer network, obviously, after a really thorough checking over.
Okay. So that's like a pre-owned ex-demo?
I guess, yeah. Yeah. I think they'll probably get some decent demonstrator use out of them first, but then, they will go to dealers.
So how many are they going to build? Do you know?
I think there's 1,000 for the UK.
Just 1,000?
Yeah.
I bet they're all sold by the end of the year.
Apparently, the order books are filling up very, very quickly. And again, yeah.
So we need one of our listeners to buy one and then tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be, again, when you're there as press and you're there to get the full experience of it, you're there in a capacity to review it, which is exactly what I'll be doing in the magazine in the next issue.
So I want one, the end.
Yeah, well, imagine if it was that easy to write reviews. But as someone who's actually, if you're actually going to own one, I'd love to hear what you think of it as an all-round car, because they are like... Do you know what else really surprised me about it? Is how they're a big, big car. A Defender 110, before you even flare the arches and put a wider track on it, is quite large. They don't drive like a big car on the road. And when you get when you sort of get used to the handling, whether you've got it in Larry Opta mode or just driving it normally in drive with no extra, driver mode switched on, they flow and they handle British roads like nothing else I've ever driven. All the fleet that we drove were on the 20-inch wheels with the Goodyear Duratrac tyres.
Oh, nice. Yep.
But even on like quite an aggressive all-terrain / mud terrain like the Goodyear, they just handle and soak up everything with such efficiency. They're just like, oh, yeah, I would 100% have one if I was ever in the position to buy
it. Yeah, strange, isn't it? Just imagine, yeah, because a few days before you were like, we'll see.
I was skeptical. I was a bit skeptical,
yeah.
But that was all put to bed. And like I say, make sure you get it'll be the June issue of LRM, because I'll be doing full review in that, and you'll see just quite how special they are. I hope I managed to get it across, because, yeah, easily the most impressive vehicle, all-round vehicle I've ever driven.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, what have you been up to? That's enough rattling on about what I've been doing.
What have I been up to? Well, we had Ripon, didn't we?
Yes, yes. The Ripon Spares Day was excellent.
Yeah, brilliant. The weather was kind. It was a bit nippy, but it was Yorkshire.
Yeah.
In March.
For the most part, it was decent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Sunny. You came out, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I had a look. I got the footwell panels for my 110 from LR Bulkheads.
Oh, yeah. Good guy, he is.
Yes, I had a lovely chat with Al.
And if you want to buy anything from him, he will also be at... LRM Live in May.
And Newbury.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's coming up.
That is coming up. That's the next one in the calendar.
On the 6th of April.
Indeed.
I know we talk about our shows quite a lot during these podcasts, but it's important because it keeps us busy.
Yeah, exactly. And we had loads of lovely comments about the podcast at Ripon.
Yeah, so if you're one of our lovely listeners that said hello to me on the gate, I was a bit busy with a big queue of traffic. We were obviously getting the money from people coming in.
Yeah.
To save them having to go to a pay desk and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was fairly full on.
Yes.
I think I stood in the same spot for about 5 hours, which is unusual for me.
Yeah.
But we have all hands on, aren't we? We
do it all.
Crack on, we do.
Jacks of all trades. Masters of some.
Masters of some.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was ripping. Really, really good event.
Had a nice chat.
Record turnout, actually.
Yeah, it was. Really busy.
Really busy, yeah.
Had a nice chat with a guy who was, just as he was leaving, he had a little boy with him, and he was carrying some bits, Land Rover bits, and he said, oh, I've got a bone to pick with you. And I thought, oh.
There we go.
I don't need this. And he said, no, really enjoy the podcast. He was actually at Ripon because he'd heard about it on the podcast, which is really cool. And he said the only thing he's got complaints about is us talking about model Land Rovers all the time. His son badges him to buy Hot Wheels Land Rovers constantly. So
does he find any? Because he actually gets all the top tips.
Well, some, yeah.
I still can't find any. Yeah. I have not one that you kindly gave me, the cool and vintage one.
Yeah.
But no, I can't find it.
Looking in the wrong places.
Yeah, no.
If you're going to LRM Live and you have a small Land Rover enthusiast with you, come over to the LRM subscription tent because we're going to be giving some little prizes away. So if your kid is into Land Rovers, come and see us and we'll have a little box of Land Rover goodies for you.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't even know about that.
Oh, no. I've been planning this all year, so it's the last one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm into Land Rover.
There's a reason I lurk in B&M and Aldi looking slightly shifty, buying all the Land Rover diecasts. It's not for my own personal amusement. It's
That'll be on a first come, first serve then, won't it? You won't have like thousands of anything, will you?
No. I've built up a bit of an arsenal of them, but we obviously, you know, we can only give out as many as we've got. But yeah, it'd be nice to give something back. So if you've got a little one and they like Land Rovers, come and see us, say hello, and yeah, they can get a little prize.
And this year we've got some of the Dunsfold collection are going to be next to the other one. Tent.
Indeed. Right. Yes. Yeah, the Dunsfold collection is supporting us for the third year.
Yeah, another 7 or 8 vehicles not seen before.
Absolutely. So yeah, apart from if you go and visit the museum itself, you won't see them anywhere else because that's where they reside most of the year. But we're really thankful for them for bringing a lovely collection of cars out, and you can see them right next to our stand.
Good stuff.
Yes, indeed. So in the interim break, when I've been gallivanting off around the place, we've had quite a few listeners' questions in.
Okay.
So good. Shall we not waste any time and get onto some of those?
Yes.
No problem at all.
Well, I might just share my opinion on some of them. I haven't read any of them yet, so yeah.
It's unlike you to share your opinion and stuff, Stephen. Normally quite reserved in that respect. Right. Where are we? Apologies. It's like I'm prepared or something. Right. Hugh Davies has got in touch. He says, "Hi, chaps. I'm a relatively new listener and instant fan of your podcast. Thanks, Hugh." He says, "My car history includes 60s American cars," which is pretty cool, "an Impala and a 69 Camaro." Wow, that's a rare beast. 69 Camaro is the one to have, isn't it?
That is the one to have, definitely. Yeah.
"And then Series 2 with a BMC diesel engine out of a black taxi. Then a Freelander 1. And the most recent one he's got is a Series 3 FFR, 1984 model. So ex-military." He goes on to say, "Recently, I've changed all the wheel bearings and I need to change the front brake pipe on the inside of the hub, which runs from the top to the bottom of the back plate, you know, where the brake drum fits, because they are twin leading shoe on those Series 3s. They are a pain to bleed, as he rightly says in his email. But yeah, the pipe from the top to the bottom wheel cylinder is rusty. So as far as changing the pipe itself, fairly straightforward. You undo the unions, you replace the pipe, you put it back together. But his question is about how do you bleed them, because the bleed nipple is at the bottom of the hub.
Okay.
So generally speaking,
air goes up.
Air will rise to the top. Yeah.
Yep.
But the bleed nipple's at the bottom. It's a ridiculous design. It's one thing I don't miss now that I've got discs on the front of my Series 3, because that was the same setup.
She's saying the answer is convert to discs at the end.
For ease, I would certainly not put anyone off converting to disc brakes. But, Hugh, what I would say is, what you need to do, with the disc off, sorry, with the drum off, get a ratchet strap and put the ratchet strap around the shoes so that it pushes the pistons all the way in on the top and bottom wheel cylinders.
Like the brake is off.
Like it's all the way off.
Yes, okay.
Because doing that, you reduce the pockets that the air can sit in.
Ah, right, okay.
Then, as he says, he's got a pressure bleeder. Get your easy bleed I use. Put it on the master cylinder to pressurise the system. Make sure there's plenty of fluid in it. And then work furthest from the master cylinder towards the master cylinder. So do your rears first and then work towards
in the corner. In a diagonal?
So do...
Yeah, you would go...
So it's right-hand drive.
Yeah.
So you want to do left-hand rear, then right-hand rear, yes. Left-hand front.
So like a crisscross. Yeah, I'll get you.
As long... Yeah, you basically work towards it. And I have, touch wood, always had success with that, but you need to make sure that the wheel cylinders are fully compressed, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
And to do that, you need to have a ratchet strap or, well, yeah, a ratchet strap's the best thing to use to stop the shoes being pushed out as you operate the pedal or as you apply pressure. You might need to do it a couple of times, but that's how I've always had success, and then make sure the shoes are correctly adjusted afterwards.
Sounds a bit of a faff.
It is a bit of a faff. I'll be honest, it's a pretty terrible design. And I've seen people change the back plates around so that you can get the bleed nipple at the top, which is...
Why didn't Land Rover do that?
You tell me.
Okay. Land Rover, why didn't you do that?
Yeah, that's a bit of a...
There must have been a reason.
There might well have been a reason. I don't know what that reason is. I wish I did, but yeah... Bit of a design faux pas there. It has to be said. But
well, I hope that works for Hugh. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, cheers, Hugh. Thanks for getting in touch, and thanks for the support. Next up, we've got George.
I would say George.
George, yeah. I'm so sorry if we've got the pronunciation of your name wrong, George. Dear Stephen Martin, the launch of your LRM podcast coincided with us looking at buying our first Land Rover. What a happy coincidence.
Have we influenced?
Well... I've been a keen listener from the start and I haven't missed a single episode since. You guys are so entertaining and full of knowledge. Please keep up the brilliant work. Oh, a bit of flattery goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, what do you want, George?
He goes on to say, last September, my wife and I rented a Defender 110 TD5 in the UK for a camping trip in Somerset and Devon, which had, among other things, a roof tent and a 270-degree awning. Having grown up in an era of Camel Trophy and G4, it was for us a question of either getting hooked or a case of never meet your heroes. So it either could have been a fantastic success or they might have come away disappointed. Thankfully, the results were rather ambiguous and he loved the TD5. And if it wasn't for my ears, the smile would have gone all the way around my head. That's a great saying.
Yes.
However, my wife wasn't that amused and referred to the TD5 as a farm vehicle. Well,
it kind of is.
It is, to a degree. He goes on and says, for peace of mind and for being able to share the experience, we opted for a TD4, so TDCI, and we are now the proud owners of a 2010 Defender 110 station wagon, which we have christened Hot Toddy for reasons that would take too long to explain here. We were lucky enough to find a fully converted overlander camper. Oh, right, okay, so he's bought one already. Modded up, so he probably saved himself a few quid.
Yeah, definitely.
Within our budget, and we look forward to roaming the UK in it, starting with Yorkshire this June. Any Land Rover or camping-related recommendations in Yorkshire would be very much appreciated. And he sent a picture of Hot Toddy, which I will no doubt be including in a upcoming issue of the magazine. Steve, you go camping in Yorkshire. Let's have your top Yorkshire camping locations.
Well, this is right. So he's got his Land Rover all set up.
Yeah.
So the vehicle then is your base.
Yeah.
And then, right, so near Whitby is my favourite location.
Okay.
And I like to camp. There's a campsite. It's very small.
Okay.
Very peaceful. Overlooks the sea. Up from Whitby, I'm just going to... There's a pub called The Stiddy. S-T-I-D-D-Y, The Stiddy.
The Stiddy. What Stiddy means, it must be.
Yeah, I don't know. It's about 3 miles up a hill from Whitby. You can camp there. And then you just get the bus. And for like, because there's like a reduced rate on the buses, isn't there?
Right.
You get a bus straight down to Whitby. It's cheaper to pay for the bus ticket than it is to park. You can have a wander around. You can go out to Robin Hood's Bay on the bus. So I use the bus and leave the Land Rover parked up.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his roof tent and awning and everything on his 110 on hot toddy. So that sounds like a logical thing to do. And then back to the campsite for a few more beverages and a barbecue and then go to bed.
That's kind of what we did. So I want to go up again this year. And the guy that runs campsite really, really wants a Defender.
Really?
Because my Defender was the first one he's ever driven.
And you let him go in it?
Yeah, he said, don't meet your heroes. He was like, I don't know whether I'm going to love it or hate it, but I've always wanted one.
Okay.
And I let him drive it around the campsite, the grounds, and he came back with a big smile on his face.
Happy days, so another win.
Yeah. The village actually is Lythe, Lythe, Lythe. And yeah, the Stiddy. And there's a pub, which, gotta go wrong, can you?
What's not a lie?
Yeah.
There you go then, George.
That's my top place.
Steve's tourist information.
And then you can go across, there's the moors, Yorkshire Moors, Goathland, where Heartbeat was filmed.
Oh yeah, your favourite.
I love that place. And all around there, some green lanes as well. Just look them up on the Ordnance Survey maps. Have a tour around.
There's a PS, he says.
Oh, yeah.
As a potential future guest to your podcast, I'd love to hear more of Graham Aldous's stories about the first and last overland expeditions. Cool. He's spoken to him over email. And okay, interesting. We have got some guests lined up for this year, so I'll have to I'll maybe drop
that in Graham's list.
Yes, indeed, yes. And then PPS, something I know that will appeal to you because you like old British tatty sports cars. Also, driving a 1976 Triumph Stag for more than 11 years now, we're quite familiar with quirky British cars. So he's had a Stag for 11 years.
You say about meeting heroes.
Yeah.
Triumph Stag, for me, is a car I've never owned, but was my dream car for many, many years. I really, really wanted one. Never owned one. Never driven one.
Yeah. They're a little bit...
You're not into... You're younger than me. So
I just, yeah. No, I do get it. I get the appeal, but they're a bit before my time. I'm not really that fussed about them.
Yeah, they'd be slow and uneconomical, very much like an old Land Rover, really.
Yeah, they like overheating is all I know about them.
Yeah, so they had 3-litre V8, and which was essentially, it used to overheat.
Lots of people, capacity for a V8, isn't it?
Yeah, lots of people converted them to Rover V8s for ease of... but they're just a bit... They're a bit steady away, really. They're just a nice old car. I'd quite like one.
Are they all automatic?
No, they did do a manual with an overdrive.
Oh, right, okay.
But most of the ones I ever looked at were autos.
Right.
I think it's 3-speed or something.
Probably. I know they did them. They made them in the most quintessential and of that era colours, like bright yellow and bright red.
Or like signal yellow, I think it's called.
Is it signal yellow?
Is it signal yellow?
That rings a bell. It could well.
I like, and they did the brown.
Yeah, brown, like a russet brown.
Russet brown, yeah. And then they did magenta. That's the one I'd have.
You'd have magenta.
Yeah. When I was 16 years old, right? So our school, I went to school in Cumbria.
When dinosaurs ruled the earth.
Basically, yeah. There was a classic car garage in the village. When you were in the last year of school, you were allowed to walk up to the village.
All right.
In your lunch break and stuff, to go to the shop and stuff.
Sure.
There was this classic car garage and they had a little showroom with one or two cars in it. And the one car was a magenta Stag. I used to go and have a look at that most lunch breaks. I loved it. £6,995 it was up for.
That would have been a lot of money back then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but this is 30 years ago.
Yeah,
so I've wanted a Stag for 30 years.
New car price, nearly. Was it nearly new?
No. I mean, that would have been 94. That'd have been 1994, and that would have been probably a 1977, 1978, something like that.
I just assumed you went to school a little longer ago than you did.
Yeah.
Anyway, a first.
Enough about Stags.
A first. We haven't done this before, and I'm springing this on you. Mm. We've got a question from a YouTube comment on the LRM YouTube channel.
Oh.
So this question came in actually on the latest podcast, the one with Dan from Demand Engineering, and he says, this is GreenFig85. So I'm guessing that's not the name he was given at birth, but he said, G'day guys, love listening to the podcast in the car. Thanks. I'm looking to join the club and buy a Discovery. What are your thoughts on Disco 1 versus Disco 2? You've owned both.
I have owned both.
I've never had a Disco 2, but I've owned lots of Discovery 1s. What's your initial reaction to that question? What are you thinking?
The other day, right? me and my wife Louise were looking through some old pictures. Funny enough, we were looking for pictures of our house with this when we had scaffolding up.
Right.
See how much room it took up. Anyway, long story. We saw a picture of our Discovery on the drive. Louise immediately said, I missed that car. It was 300 TDI, three-door Discovery.
Okay.
And she said, I said, what do you mean you missed that? I mean, that was like green light, wasn't it? That me, I said it's a bias.
Red rang to a ball. Yeah, let's have it.
I missed that car. I said, what do you mean you miss it? I said, well, they're old hat now, really.
Mm.
It's because, no, I really, really like that car. And I enjoyed owning a 300 TDI Discovery more than I did my TD5 Discovery.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a TD5 Discovery, which was auto, as I mentioned before.
Mm.
I don't know. There's something quite lovely about a Discovery One.
I agree.
But it depends how far you want to go. It's a bit like,
I don't think that comes into it. I think they're such a,
you sit at 70, which is all you can do.
Yeah, and they're pretty spacious and comfy. And the first non-Defender I ever had when I was younger was a black Discovery One, 300 TDI, five-door manual. And I actually bought that. That got traded in at the Land Rover dealer I worked at, and it was supposed to go for scrappage scheme. It had done 78,000 miles, one owner from you, didn't have a speck of rust on it anywhere. And I knew I was kind of getting to the point with my TD5 truck cab that I wanted something that I could fit more than one other person in and it wouldn't kill my back on long journeys. And I saw it come in, and I spoke to the salesman who was dealing with the lovely couple who owned it. And I basically, gave me their contact details, and I said to them, I will give you £2,000 for it. Please don't let it go to the scrappage scheme. And they said, yeah, okay. And I ran that for years, and then I sold it. And the guy who owned it after me did loads of stuff to it, looked really cool, and then he moved back to Australia where he was originally from. I don't know if it's still about or not. I should probably reg check it.
So I reg check frequently the old Discovery ones I've had, and the Discovery 2, and they're still on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wicked.
They've got like a million miles on a clock.
Well, that's good.
But yeah, at the moment, I would actually say go and buy the very best Discovery one you can find.
I completely agree. I think that's a very, very sound bit of advice. Doesn't matter whether it's too, probably better off as a daily user, I would say 300's a little bit more refined.
200's getting on now, aren't they? But
they're getting on, and they're getting expensive because they're all like collectible now.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of 300s out there to choose from. Just make sure you get one with decent bodywork, really.
Tell you what I was shocked about, right? You talk about TDIs just quickly. So there was, at Ripon, a 200 TDI 110, completely rotten. The chassis was done.
Okay.
You might have seen it on Trader. It was, because it was an original 200 TDI with a running engine, it was still worth £3,500.
Well, have you seen the price of...
Because of its original engine, but yeah, your car was completely done.
The proper Defender 200 TDIs with the high mount turbo and the different manifolds and the different bracketry and stuff like that, you can't get an old smoker of a 200 from a Defender for less than £1,000 now. So you add on the price of the bell housing, the gearbox, transfer box, and any other good bits.
Yeah.
It's probably, unfortunately, it's probably worth that.
Hmm.
But yeah, even if it, you see, I think the price of real sort of entry level projects is coming down to a sensible point again. But yeah, proper 200 TDI Defender to me is the one to have anyway, but everyone's got their own opinions, haven't they?
Yeah.
But, I've seen on social media today, earlier on, there's a few people still, you know, and we're just personal opinion, with their heads in the cloud regarding Defender values. Like, you need to seriously get with the times. It's not COVID anymore. Your 2011 90 with a rusty rear cross member is not worth £40,000. No, your head of what?
I've seen some serious... I've been looking through the classifiers of various websites, against our own website, and we tend to get a lot of enthusiast cars, but there are some ridiculous values.
Yeah.
Well, not values, it's worth what
it's asking price, isn't it? The asking price and what it actually sells for is often worlds apart. And one of the best things you can do, I'm fairly sure I've mentioned this before, is whenever I'm looking to sell anything, I generally go on eBay, type in the closest description to what it is I've got that I want to sell. Say, for instance, 1996 Defender 110. And then search for it, scroll down the list of filters and click sold items and completed listings.
Oh, yes.
And it shows you how many times, well, it shows you what I actually sold for on auction. And it also shows you how many times they were relisted. So if you got messed around constantly, you might be priced a bit high. Or
you see the price come down, down, down.
Yeah, that's a handy tool. And yeah, it's something I often do. Do you want another listener's question?
Yeah.
One more?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. William Barrett emails. He says, "Hi, Martin and Steve. I'm an avid listener to the podcast and look forward to the next one each week. It keeps me company while driving all around Europe with work. I met you at Billing last year with my Budget Built Discovery 2, which I brought onto the show and tell stand on the Sunday. I remember that car. Do you?" It was the chap who was saying he bought like a roof rack from, I think it was a Transit, and modified it. And his bumper he got from a breaker's. He was basically trying to do a really...
It was a proper budget as well, wasn't it?
It was really cool. He'd done a lovely job of it. Basically wanted to build a camper overlander as affordable as he could.
I remember now. Yeah.
He goes on to say, "I heard you mention a couple of times now about lying down on gravel driveways and the pain it can cause. You could try laying on some HGV spray suppression." I've not heard of that before.
Is that like the stuff on the wheel arches?
It looks like
it's like it looks like AstroTurf.
Yeah, he's put a picture on actually, and it is exactly what you've just described.
It's black
AstroTurf. He says you can get from any HGV parts supplier for about £30 to £40. Helps you slide underneath and protects your back. Also, when it's wet or cold, it helps isolate you from the ground. I use it all the time when I'm working heavy recovery. It's a lifesaver. Keep up the good work and look forward to the next one. Well, I will be buying some of that.
Get me some.
Yeah, I'm going to. I shall go. There's a HGV place just up the road from me, so I'll grab some.
Because you live in the Fens.
I do live in the Fens, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really, really... I'll tell you what. This was something I remembered actually the other day when I was looking in my paint cupboard. The best businesses are often businesses you don't hear about. You sort of stumble upon them or you find them through word of mouth. There's a company in a village I used to live in which does coach paint, like enamel coach paint, but they also do all the Land Rover colors. So when I had my white 110 and I wanted to put it was a station wagon and I wanted to put utility sides in the back so I could keep stuff in there without it being seen, someone said, "Oh, you want to check out this place?" And I went and saw them. Lovely people, very knowledgeable, told me exactly what I needed, didn't, you know, oversell. They were perfectly transparent. And I bought everything and then sold the 110. So I've got all this white paint. I've done a set of wheels with it already, and I'm probably going to do another set with them, with the paint that I bought. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Little Land Rover businesses.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just shout out quickly.
Okay.
To
Are we doing shout outs now, are we?
I don't know.
Go on.
Why not?
Fire away.
Well, it's fun, isn't it? I think it's it's just gone off my page, actually. Instagram. So we were talking about painting Land Rovers the other day, weren't we? Mine.
We certainly were.
And let me just find it ever so quickly. He was on my page, and now he's gone.
Oh, look at this. We're such professionals, aren't we?
We are. We're making this up as we go along. It was Dorset_Rover.
Oh, yes. He messages me quite a lot on Instagram.
Yeah.
A lovely chap.
Yeah, absolutely. So he was talking about his blue 90 that he had, and he got it professionally painted. We were talking about getting something painted really, really nice, but then not being able to use it.
Yes.
He actually had that happen to him.
Really?
So he couldn't use it. It was too nice to use, and he really like conscious about where you're going to take it. So he shared his advice, basically, is, you can get something painted nice, but probably not too nice.
Yeah. It is a danger, but I think if you've got another Land Rover that you use and you're not too worried about getting it on scratch or whatever, then it's fine to have a really super nice shiny one. But I think it would very, very quickly get bored if that was your only Land Rover, because you'd just be terrified of
parking anywhere. No, you can't live like that for me.
No, I agree.
I have to use things. And the other guy I'm going to shout out to is, he always shares our stuff. is, where's he gone? The Defender underscore Restore. Jamie.
Yes.
Always shares our podcast.
A legend.
And listens on Workshop Wednesdays.
Yes.
In his workshop. We're keen to see his Land Rover when it's done, actually.
Yeah, I can't remember if I've already messaged him about it, but I said keep us up to speed because that would make a great Reader's Rovers or Work in Progress.
He was in Work in Progress.
Was he?
Yeah, that Jamie.
He was in
Work in Progress.
Yes.
So basically, I'm a long way off with my 90 project from where he is, but I'm using his as inspiration for mine.
Yeah, he's doing a lovely job by the looks of it.
So yeah, Defender underscore Restore. Check him out on Insta. There's my two shout-outs for the day.
Achieved.
Thanks. Next time we'll be really organised.
You won't. Nor will I.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Right, should we have product of the week then?
Are we doing that? Or
are we going to go straight into product of the week?
Then.
This is something I've actually been meaning to buy for ages but haven't bought yet. It is a wet and dry vacuum.
Oh, right, yeah. Very useful.
Indeed, because much like any 4x4, the interior of your Land Rover will get filthy and muddy and if you're using it properly anyway. And if you've got fabric seats, it's good to give them a proper deep clean every so often anyway, just because of the amount of light. But you sit on them every day, so it's good to keep them clean is what I'm saying. This cordless vacuum is from Machine Mart, in fact, £143.98. And it's a normal sort of, it's got a 10 litre capacity. It's cordless. Charges up in just 90 minutes. So it's fully portable. 10 litre capacity and yeah, wet and dry functions. So you can suck up all the crumbs and all that from all your eating your meal deals out of the footwell. And then you can shampoo your seats and get all the water back out of them so you can sit on them again.
Yeah, quite handy to have actually in a workshop.
I've got a normal shop vac, for want of a better phrase, which I use for hoovering up and like getting when you've been cutting stuff in the vise and there's swarf everywhere. But it'd be really handy to have one that can do wet as well.
I used to have one.
Yeah?
A Screwfix one.
Oh, right.
Titan. And I overdid it with the dust.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did it have a bit of a lane
fall? I didn't really like it in the end.
I've killed a vacuum actually in a similar way. I stripped down some series leaf springs to get all the rust out between the leaves and then I painted them in grease and then put them back together. But yeah, I had the grinder on with the wire wheel and I'd like gaffer tape the Hoover nozzle to the side of the grinder to try and catch some of the dust. Yeah, it didn't really last very long.
I don't know why we've got onto Hoovers now, or vacuum cleaners for want of a better thing.
Yeah, so don't use the brand name.
When I was 19, had a 3-door V8 Range Rover, which we changed engine on. But before we changed engine, because it had no compression left, the rocker covers were full of what we call Black Death.
Yeah.
And we may have vacuum cleaned, right? Of course, what's going to happen there is it clogs up with Black Death. We're around and this vacuum cleaner is literally smoking blue smoke.
What you've done is transferred the Black Death from the V8 to the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. What a stupid thing to do. That's how stupid I was at 19.
Well.
Anyway, it didn't help the V8 and they had to be scrapped.
RIP. Feature of the week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is a great one. This is an absolutely fantastic feature. Another absolute blinder from Gary Pusey and his travels through the archive. 1990 Land Rover converted a V8 press launch disco, complete with GWAC number plate, into a diesel-powered amphibious vehicle for Cowes Week up in the Isle of Wight. And this is the full story on just what went into it, how it was prepared, the flotation devices, the engine conversion, and then after it was used for this fantastic press shots that are all inside this feature in the May issue of Land Rover Monthly. Sorry, the April issue of Land Rover Monthly. We've just gone to press, which is why I've got May stuck in my head. And then the vehicle went missing. But it's since been recovered. And it's been brought back to its original, its former glory, with exception of a few little bits that still needed to be found. But yeah, a really, really stunning feature with fantastic photography from Nick Dimbleby, Roger Craythorne, and the Dunsfold Collection. And told absolutely beautifully, as always, by Gary. An absolute star. And yeah, I really enjoyed this one. A really, really cracking feature. So yeah, don't miss that. The April issue is on sale now.
You've only got a week or so left of it being on sale as well. A
couple of weeks, yeah. You should be able to get it. But don't forget, obviously, if you, again, sorry to plug, if you want to get all the back issues of Land Rover Monthly, Exact Editions, get a subscription to that and you can look back to 2015.
Digital archive.
You will never be without Land Rover content. Exciting stuff and great value. So yeah, there we go.
I've discovered a new podcast.
Have you?
Pint of Petrol.
A Pint of Petrol.
Our friend Ian Arthur.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that as well. Some really eye-opening things they talk about on there.
I was listening to episode 3. They talk about depreciation of new cars. Do you remember pre-register them?
This is my favourite episode that they've done.
Whilst ironing this very shirt, in fact.
You've ironed it?
Yeah, I know. That was a rush.
We'll start videoing these soon and you'll have to see us take the mick out of each other in real time.
Well, I'll tell you why we don't. Greg King, who was a guest on this, he says,
The salmon sofa.
Salmon sofa that we sit on.
Yeah.
Which it, this has probably been here for 40 years, I bet.
It needs a wet vac. It needs one of those machine mark vacuum cleaners.
It needs beyond that. I think it needs going to the skip.
Essentially, the reason we don't video the podcast at the moment, and we will change that at some point, is the backdrop is just so non. It's just so boring. We need to start doing these in our garages, really, so there's actually stuff to look at.
Yeah, a white wall, a salmon sofa, a yellow step ladder, and it is a studio, but it's a bit
painting a picture.
Lived in.
It's just not set up for podcasts, but hopefully we're going to change that soon. We need to sort something out, really, because, check out A Pint of Petrol. It's a really good listen. Mm. And it's actually recorded in a pub, so maybe we just need to start doing that instead.
Good excuse.
Not a bad idea, is it?
That isn't a bad idea.
What's going on with your 90, then?
What's going on? Well, had a call day before yesterday.
Okay.
The bulkhead is ready.
Is it? For collection?
Yeah. So we're going to go up there.
Sounds good.
You're going to come with me, I think.
I'll come with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to go and collect it, and then we'll film collecting it.
All right.
Just put it on our YouTube.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Because I've been to Richard Chassis before. You've not been there.
No, I've never been there, no.
Yeah, they have a lot of chassis in stock.
I think they do.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they don't. It depends on production runs and stuff.
Mm. You got a roof rack on your Land Rover that we're taking. You got a roof rack on it?
Yeah, I've got a front.
I was just wondering if a 110 chassis might fit on the roof rack on the way back.
Bit heavy up top, I should think.
Yeah.
No, we'll just go up in a generic estate car. That's the location of the bulkhead.
Actually, talking of roof racks and high centres of gravity, that's another job you've got to do on yours, isn't it? It's because your 90 left the factory without any anti-roll bars, didn't it?
Yeah, we do need to do that.
So we're going to get some. We're going to uprate the handling, and you'll see that in the mag.
Go-kart-like.
Yeah. You'll handle like an Octa.
Yeah.
You'll have Octa mode.
That would be good.
Because it is a little bit roller poly at the moment, isn't it? Bless
there's
it.
A few jobs. There's a couple of jobs I need to do. I have solved one really annoying thing.
What's that then?
I know it sounds really like off piste here. Where I park the Land Rover, we always block it in with our estate car.
Sensible.
Yeah, every night. But it means that it gets the birds crap on it, basically. From the TV areas.
Oh, right. Okay. So
that sounds really boring, but
the 90's beside your house, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like an alleyway kind of driveway between us and next door's.
Right.
Next door's TV area, the birds just literally crap down. So it doesn't. So I've always had to try and avoid that bit of the driveway, which you can't avoid because I need all the space I've got.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you do.
And had the aerial down. What a relief.
The aerial's moved now, has it? Or what? Been taken down?
They don't need their aerial.
No more bird poop.
Yeah. That honestly has
I had to say, that would drive me mad if I came outside and every single time there was bird poop on the car.
And we're not even talking like there's bird poo and there's bird poo. At the moment, it's like someone's poured white paint down the side. Because the 90s, obviously, slab-sided.
Yeah.
It runs completely down. All over the door handles are like, it's disgusting. Infuriating when you've just washed the car.
Yeah.
Or your Land Rover.
That's like doing a rain dance, though, isn't it? Washing your car. You just know for a fact either it's got, the heavens are going to open or the birds are going to see it as a target because you've made it shiny.
I don't mind if it's like ad hoc basis, like random.
Yeah.
But this was like serious. So just sit up there all night, I think. Just go.
Just have it. Just laughing at you.
So yeah, I know it sounds like, but that was a big thing this week.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pleased. I actually chucked another bucket of water over the blue 110 the other day. You know, you might have seen on our YouTube channel, we did the clearing out of the 110 and then we pressure washed all the lichen and algae off it. Well, I thought I would go one better and I actually used some car shampoo and a sponge. And my word, the paint has come up nicely.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're back at yours tomorrow.
We'll see tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
I've also got rid of all the extra stickers that it had all over it for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, you've got rid of the TDI stickers.
So I haven't done the wings yet, but I've got rid of the Defender stickers that it had on the sides of the tub.
Yeah, it's random, wasn't it?
It had an extra... It had Defender 110 on the back, which it shouldn't have had. It had an extra Land Rover badge, which it shouldn't have had. I still do need to get the TDI lettering off the front wings, but...
It'll go slower.
It won't. It'll go faster, because think of the weight saving. All these stickers have come off.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm actually really, really pleased. The paint's decent, although it has unfortunately been resprayed. It was originally marine blue, and now I think it might be... Stratos blue? I can't. Or was it?
Bizarre, because my 90 was Stratos blue, then it went to marine blue.
Oh, I can't remember.
Stratos was like quite blue. Dark. It was like marine blue.
No, originally it was, because I took the wheel arch spats off the front wings, and you can still see marine blue behind them.
Okay.
But I don't know what it's been painted a later Defender colour anyway. But thankfully, the paint's actually really good, so I'm going to keep it as it is. I'm not going to rub it back or anything. I'm just going to let it be.
So we're at yours tomorrow.
Yep.
Do a bit of filming for YouTube.
Yes, indeed. And photography for the mag.
What do you do?
Yes. I haven't actually decided. I need to sort the electrical system out. So I've stripped out the ancient Sparkrite alarm, which was just horrendous. It was like just spaghetti everywhere. So I've just completely removed that because it didn't work anyway. The alternator needs changing. I've got an alternator for it because the current alternator, no pun intended, would either charge at nothing or 18 volts, which is useless. I think the regulator's packed up. So I've got an alternator to go on. I've got new switch gear for the steering column because the lights are a little bit temperamental.
Okay.
I think where it's been sat, it's got some corrosion in the contacts, stuff like that. New dampers and front brakes. So yeah, a few bits to be getting on with.
It'll be MOT ready.
It will be, nearly. I've got to have the weld. My friend is coming over to do the welding on the 22nd, so...
You've taken the wings off, haven't you?
Yeah, I've taken the wings off already.
Easy?
Not too bad. I had to cut a few bolts, but you always do, don't you?
Yeah.
Part and parcel. So, yeah, I'm excited to get stuck into that. I think I'm aiming to get most of the mechanical stuff and electrical stuff done either tomorrow or before it gets welded. And then once it is welded, put the wings back on. I picked up a set of wheels and tyres from Dan at Demand. He had a set of five Wolf wheels with Goodyear G90s, everyone's favourite Lonzo's tyre.
Well, you won't be going fast enough to wear it, really. And that is the asthmatic diesel.
Probably not. But they are all matching and all legal, just like the ones on it at the moment aren't. So I'm going to change them. And then, really, there's not a huge amount that will stop it going down the road for an MOT.
So will you put it on the road and use it?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
At least for a while. You keep telling me that the 2.5 naturally aspirated diesel is going to do my head in, but I don't think it will.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
Do you think it will be that bad?
It won't do your head in if you don't go anywhere, won't it? Honestly, no, it's just rubbish. I know there's going to be listeners out there with a 2.5 natural aspirated diesel, and I've probably offended you, but they're just not fit for today's roads. They're too Okay, if you live in the middle of nowhere and you're just going to go from one field to another, fine.
Yeah.
If you want to come to here in it, a bit of worse than you've ever driven. It's just too slow.
Well, basically, the plan is I'm gonna get it roadworthy. I'm going to get it on the road, and then I'm going to drive around in it, and I'm going to see just how horrendous the engine is. I might put up with it. I might not. If I don't, then I need to think about what I'm going to put into it. And it's really a blank canvas, really. The most obvious thing would be a 200 or a 300 TDI, but that's a bit, well, everyone's done that.
Right.
And then there's...
So what are you thinking?
Well, a good friend of mine reckons I should put a TD5 in it, but I don't... I'm a TDI guy. Do you know what's actually even crossed my mind, Steve? EV convert.
I think you're just washing your mouth out with soap.
Do you not agree? Do you not think that would look cool? It would be like a totally standard looking 110, but it would be electric.
No.
No?
Why would you do that?
Well, keep the 2.5 NA then, shall I?
That's the better choice. No, I don't know.
If there's any EV conversion companies out there doing off-the-shelf stuff for Land Rovers, I think there's at least one, and you fancy collaborating on a bit of a project, give us a shout, because I'd be quite keen.
Oh, sure you will.
Yeah, I think I could drive here, charge it up, and then drive home again.
Where are you going to charge it?
At a charger.
Where's that then?
They've got chargers here, haven't they?
No.
Oh, okay. I won't charge it up here then. I can charge it at home though.
There's no chargers at work here because where the car park is related to the print works. And then there's a road
in between. A bit of a fire hazard, is it?
And then there's a road in between. The cost implications are beyond belief.
Really?
Yeah. Tens of thousands of pounds.
I'll charge it at Sainsbury's then. They won't mind. They must have a charge port at Sainsbury's.
No.
What?
No.
What is this town?
We're in Portland, Lincolnshire. There's some garage by the McDonald's roundabout.
Yeah, that's a bit of a trek, though. I'd have to get my push bike in the back and then park it up, charge it. All right, maybe I'm not going to EV convert it. You've talked me out of it.
Well, I'll pick you up in my TD5 en route. You can't park there all day, though.
Fine. All right, I won't do it.
It's not practical.
Okay.
Just stop.
All right. TDI is.
Yeah.
If you've got any ideas what engine I should put in that.
I know when there's a TDI for sale.
Where?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
In case it's not for that. But it's for sale.
I'm all ears.
Yeah.
A 200 or
300.
I would still have a 300. But really, I want, like we were talking about earlier, I'd love a genuine Defender engine with a top mount turbo to put in it because they just look right.
You have one for 3.5 grand. I know where there is one.
Son of a dear. Just comes with a free 110.
Yeah. Which,
or what's left of a free 110.
Yeah, completely rotten.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to overcomplicate. Oh, that sounded ironic after talking about EV converting it, but I don't really want to go down the non-Land Rover engine route if I can help it. I want to keep it kind of Land Rover-y, or I'll go to electric, but I don't want to go like BMW or Mercedes or Cummins or anything silly like that.
No, take the NA out, stick it in the back of your shed, stick a TDI in it, and if someone goes, oh, I want it original, well, there you go, have that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Bolting for discussion. Got any ideas? Send us an email, editorial@lrm.co.uk. We'd love to hear them. Yeah, that's sort of on the basis that I don't completely hate the 2.5 NA enough to rip it out and replace it with something else.
I don't think you'll completely like it.
I've
owned 2LM now, not just by a diesel. Land Rovers.
As daily drivers?
Yeah.
There you go then. You're daily driving it. I would never daily drive it.
The first one was a daily driver because ex-military 90.
Okay.
And then 1992 J-plate.
Mm.
That was when it was registered.
Any good?
No. Really, really slow. Really slow. Headwind, you back down to fourth gear on the A1. It's
no difference driving an old series though, is it? I know mine's different.
A bit better.
I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway, you know what we have to do? After this podcast, do you remember what you could smell when you got out of your car?
Yeah. I was waiting.
Is it me? Is it you?
Sat in the car this morning, in the Freelander this morning, and Steve pulled up next to me, and I got out, and the first thing that hit my nostrils was the sweet, sweet smell of antifreeze. And I was like, where's that coolant coming from? It's either my Freelander 2 or your car. So we'll find out.
Could it be someone else?
Which one has a... I don't know. It was very, very...
I've got a cold, hence you can probably hear it, but I'm bunged up.
It was quite an intense, pungent smell. I think it was from nearby, so I don't know.
At the point in which you could smell it, my car was still running.
Mm.
Yours wasn't.
True. But I checked my level and it was all right.
And I haven't.
Yeah, so if there's a puddle under your car, then we know it's yours.
Yeah, it's been raining now, so I won't be able to tell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, if your idiot light comes on the way back and the 5 litre locks up, then you know it was yours.
Yeah, so I'm not in a Land Rover today.
No, you're in the Jag.
It's a Jag XK, and if anything goes wrong with that engine...
Ho-ho! Get your wallet out, Stevie.
Yeah, they're the naturally aspirated one. It's a naturally aspirated, and they have timing chain issues.
Yeah, same engine as they put in the rest of world, like Japanese spec Discovery 5, Discovery 4, 5 litre NA.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are still tying it back into Land Rovers a little bit, even though we're talking about your Jaguar.
Yeah. It's a really nice car, but I always worry. It's a car that you could never quite relax with.
Hmm. It's a lovely car, I must say.
It is. It's all right. I've only had 2 years now.
Have you?
2 years and 5,500 miles. So not a load of mileage.
No. Nice car. Nice car indeed. Yeah. But yeah, I can see it's a lot of engineering, not a lot of bodywork, isn't it? So if you ever did need to work on anything under the bonnet, you'd be a little bit...
I would send it straight to a specialist. I could... No, that's not for me. I've checked the tyre pressures, checked the levels, and that's it.
I'll Fair enough. Know your limits.
Yeah, I won't touch that.
Yeah, good on you. Right, we should probably wrap this one up, haven't we? We've got things to do.
Yes, we have.
We'd better crack on and do some work. As always, thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, any feedback, leave us a little rating on your preferred podcast streaming service on Apple or Spotify or whatever, because we love to see them. And yeah, drop us any feedback, editorial@lrn.co.uk. Any listeners' questions, fire them over, and we will endeavour to get back to you.
Right, that's it.
Cheers. See you next week.
Bye for now.